Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This week, a conference title is on the line.
They got an offensive line. That's something that is going to be a great matchup because they have one of the best offensive lines in the country, and we feel we have one of the best defensive lines.
I mean, the excitement right now for our program and our guys, it's off the charts. I mean, this is what you do it for, right?
This is a Pac-12 Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Visit Allen Webb Mitsubishi in the Vancouver Auto Mall or online at allenwebbmitsubishi.com.
It's going to be right to the 10, 15, McHale to the 20, upfield to 30. He's off to the races. He is off to the 40. He's at the 30. He's at the Beaver 20. You have got to be kidding me. He has done it again. Touchdown, Ducks.
Pac-12 Championship Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Thanks for being with us on a Tuesday. I gotta say, Swigard, the music you chose, man, is gonna be kind of amped. You got good motivational music this week.
Yeah, this is big. I wanted some big movie score.
Let's go.
You know, massive Civil War fight scene, yeah. Gladiator,
the Gettysburg vibe to
yes.
it. Yes. Oh, that is good. Pac-12 championship game Friday. You can hear it right here on the Fan. It's gonna be fun. I didn't realize too that this year the game's on ABC.
Yeah, network TV.
So what does that flip every other year? How does that?
Because the conference has network deals with both ESPN, sure. ABC, and Fox, so they flip it every year.
Okay.
So,
we get Herb Street and Fowler this year calling the Pac-12 championship game.
There you go.
It's going to be fun. We got the rankings coming out. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. Don't forget the mail sack in the final hour as well. So if you got any sports or non-sports related questions, send them in to 55305. It's a Better You Today text line, and we also are going to begin our final steps towards choosing a new close song today. So we're down to the final four. There is a poll question on that you can go vote. We'll rattle through them again today in the final segment to remind you of what the final four options are, and then we'll pare it down to a final two tomorrow based on who gets the most votes. So we'll do that coming up in the final hour as well. I did just see this. I don't know if you've heard anything about this. A little newsy story, if you will.
Uh-oh.
Unhealthy air conditions in Portland prompt first ban this year on using wood-burning fireplaces.
Missed that one.
I totally did, too. So apparently beginning an hour and 5 minutes ago, if you live in Multnomah County, you are banned or prohibited from using fireplaces, unapproved wood stoves, pellet stoves, or any outdoor burning devices until the restriction is lifted. Apparently, we have stagnant air and pollution that have made the air unhealthy for sensitive groups and children, elderly, and those with heart and lung conditions. So they're prohibiting all of this starting at noon. This is the second air quality advisory in the last 2 months. Last month, however, it was just it was voluntary. They advised you to not do it.
It was an advisory, not a warning.
This
or a
one is
ban,
apparently
an actual ban.
It's a mandate.
Good thing I live in Washington County.
It's a mandate.
Go get some Duraflames
tonight.
That's
what I thought, man. I heat my house through fire almost every day. We have a wood burn fireplace every day, man. What the hell? You tell me I can't heat my house with wood? That's a little offensive, but also not in Multnomah County, so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, you're in Clackamas County.
I'm a Clackamas County man.
Yeah.
So how about that?
Stay out of trouble. I know all the judges there. So
all the Clackamas County judges. Yeah. Okay, if I get arrested, I know who to call. No, it's good.
Nah, I'm not going to be of any
help. You're not going to come help me out?
Yeah.
Put in a good word with the judge for me. Come on, man. So that's going on in Multnomah County if you're trying to heat your home today. That I'd pass that one along. Some final thoughts on Monday Night Football from last night. Is there a player that gives you less mic'd up than Russell Wilson? The guy is a stud. He's fun to watch. Yeah. He's an incredible athlete. But just in terms of like the behind-the-scenes things that you could get, was there any time that they went to Russell Wilson mic'd up and it wasn't a, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go,
yeah,
let's go?
I don't know. It's always tough to tell on those things if there's a whole bunch of stuff that, because there is an editorial process.
Well, and they got in trouble with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and so, and my thing, and it goes, it's that as well as the worst thing in the world is the between quarter coach interviews in national NBA games. They don't give you anything. Stop it. Just stop. I don't know who insists on doing that. I don't know if it's a league thing.
Right.
I don't know if it's the network thing. It's like, oh, we're going to interview the coach in the game. This is cool. No, it's not cool because they don't tell you anything.
There's nothing to it. The only time you ever got something out of it was when Sam Darnold said he was seeing ghosts. And that was a very controversial
moment.
Everybody
lost their minds.
Right. How dare you play that? And he looked bad and all that kind of stuff.
No. You should be miking up defensive players. That's where you're going to get stuff.
Sure.
You want trash talking. You want, you know, what happens when they sack the quarterback. You know, that's who needs to be mic'd up.
Our big boss she's a huge Seahawks fan, so she always loves coming over and ragging, you know, whenever the Seahawks win and all that kind of stuff. And I saw her today in the hall, and she said she's bummed that Sprague's out, because Sprague's a diehard 49er fan, and she wanted to come over and talk some ass that Seattle's now in first place. And even she, as a diehard Seahawks fan, said, can we not mic up Russell Wilson anymore? And she made a really good point, too. There was the moment. Seattle does, I would probably say, and this is uneducated, but I'm going to say it anyways, I think they do the best touchdown celebrations in the NFL. Like, yeah. When those guys get together, there's always something funny, I feel like, when those wide receivers score.
They did the bye-bye-bye one, didn't they?
They did the NSYNC one last night. And so I think it was after the Moore touchdown, and the four guys are dancing, doing the bye-bye-bye. They do their bow and stuff. And Russell Wilson kind of comes running up after the play. And he looked like he wanted to, like, be a part of the group, and they all just kind of turned around and ran back to the sideline. And they had it mic'd up. It was, hey, wait, let's go, let's go, let's go. Good job, let's go. Finish, no. Gotta finish. So that was one of my observations from last night. But I did also wonder, because that win, the reason the game was so big was because of the playoff implications for both teams.
Yeah, they went from the fifth seed to the one seed.
They went from the fifth seed to the two seed, I think, because they lost to New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
And New Orleans is 10-2 as well. So New Orleans has the head-to-head currently. But that does beg the question of who do you root for? I mean, maybe it's easy to answer, but who do you root for this weekend between New Orleans and San Francisco? Because if New Orleans wins, your chances of getting the number one seed decrease because they have the head-to-head win over you.
I think you are rooting for the 49ers because
you have a better shot at the one seed.
You control your own destiny in that regard.
And you get them at home in week 17 when you play them again.
Yeah.
So that would up your chances. And Seattle's got to not crap the bed and drop one of those random games that they seemingly do every year, like Arizona or the, you know, they got the Rams coming up next week.
I think they've already had that game. Was it the Saints or what? No, it was Baltimore.
Well, the Saints did beat them without Drew Brees.
Baltimore smacked the you know what out of them.
Sure, but I'd say Baltimore, that loss has looked better every progressive week. Like every week when they initially beat them, we knew Baltimore was good, but I don't think we quite knew how good. And the one that I would probably say more so was when New Orleans smacked them without Drew Brees.
Yeah.
That was a big surprise to me. But it does beg the question now, just looking at the seedings and the way Seattle won that game last night. If you had to gamble right now, I sent you to Vegas and I said, put money on a team to win the NFC. Who do you put your money on?
To win the NFC, probably the Saints. Because I think, one, if they get home field advantage, they might have the best home field advantage. Although Seattle's pretty good in the winter.
Mm-hmm. You get that cold, rainy game in December or January and in Seattle.
And assuming teams don't have major or key injuries the rest of the way, because that changes everything.
Without a doubt, changes the whole thing.
I think you just trust that the Saints can score consistently throughout the playoffs, no matter who their opponent is.
Yeah, I think there's a fear factor around Green Bay, the way that they got drilled by San Francisco. Like, that's a fear. Like, Green Bay.
Green Bay, you think, okay, if you go up against a really physical, aggressive defense, at some point they can take the running game out of it and send Rodgers running for his life.
Right. Bosa's going to be breathing down your neck the entire game. I do think right now it almost comes down to New Orleans, Seattle, and San Francisco.
Yeah.
The San Francisco-Seattle game could have gone either way, back and forth, overtime, missed a field goal.
San Francisco, the same issue. If you have a team that can generate pass rush and be aggressive and speed up Jimmy Garoppolo, does he have the stones to stand in there and make things happen?
Yeah, do you trust
him? You trust Russell Wilson, you trust Drew Brees, Kirkers,
Hey, easy. Easy. He played well last night. He had a decent game last night.
Yeah, he did not go full primetime Kirkers.
He did not. It was not a complete meltdown. He had a lot of checkdowns, you know, playing it safe, trying to move the chains here and there. No, I think your point on quarterbacks is valid. I thought on the Minnesota angle, too, you realized, not that you didn't know this going in, how vital Dalvin Cook is to that offense. Because he got hurt, I want to say it was the opening drive or their second drive of the third quarter when he fumbled. And that was a big play because Seattle got points on top of it. But he goes down, misses the rest of the game. And they were just, they didn't know what the hell to do for the next handful of series. And they were just, they were out of sorts. The pick happened. It wasn't Cousins' fault. It was a great play by Seattle. But he is just the centerpiece of everything that they do offensively. And it took them a while to get their footing again. So you realize, not that we didn't already know how important he is. I think right now, honestly, I would give the edge, just because of the wins that they've had the last handful of weeks, I would give the edge to Seattle. The fact that they in the last, 3 weeks have beaten San Francisco on the road, which was an incredible comeback win, doing it in overtime and all that stuff with that pass rush handling it. And then, you know, we can make fun of Kirk Cousins. Minnesota's a good team this year. They got a good defense. They ran it down their throat. I know Dalvin Cook went down, but Minnesota has been playing arguably the best football in the league since they lost in like week five. And Kirk Cousins' numbers have been through the roof. And so to handle them, to be down at halftime, rattle off 24 unanswered, and then try and cough it up and still come up with the win, that was pretty impressive to me. The best news for Seattle, too, is the next couple of weeks, they got some gimmies. They should be gimmies, at least, with the Rams and the Panthers, both on the road. The Rams game, by the way, is a Sunday night game next Sunday, and San Francisco has to go to New Orleans, which I think will be a real telling game for each of those teams in their NFC standings. But it was a good game last night, Russ. I can do without him being mic'd up. No more booger, please. But good back and forth playoff implication game that was a lot of fun to watch. We'll get to NFL True or False coming up at 1:30. I'm sure that Monday Night Football game was tied into True or False. So we see how we did last week. We'll answer this week's questions. We'll do that coming up bottom of the hour. But something that's been lost in the shuffle now the last handful of days because of everything going on in the world of sports was the Mike Leach thing on Friday. If you missed it, we'll play it for you. He had a back and forth with a reporter and then again lost to Chris Peterson in Washington, which will now have to be Jimmy Lake in Washington. How do we feel about the rant and just his standing at Wazoo not being able to beat his in-state rival? We'll get into that coming up next. Sturton Sprague on 1080 The Fan. Wait, Texan, the Packers have one bad week and everybody dumps all over them. But I mean, you know, I think to say that you're not the best team in the NFC right now, don't take offense to that. The Packers are winning the division, likely. They got a decent lead now. They got the head-to-head win over Minnesota. They got a one-game lead, already had the head-to-head tiebreaker. They're 3-0 in the division, too. Minnesota's 1-2 in the division. So, they're going to win, likely, the NFC North. They do have to go to Minnesota week 16 or week 17. I can't remember when it is. But they have two turd sandwiches. It's not just one. They got blown out by the 49ers, and then the game where they no-showed against the Chargers, that was a bit of an issue as well. And that's the difference right now. I mean, you look at New Orleans, I guess, has one against Atlanta, but they're 10-2 on the season, and they've beaten Seattle on the road. Right. San Francisco's two losses are to Seattle and Baltimore, both by a field goal at the end of the game. And Seattle, as we mentioned, I know they got drilled a little bit by New Orleans and had to make a late comeback. And I know Breeze wasn't in that game, but still, that's a quality loss against a 10-2 team. And the other team Seattle lost to was Baltimore, who right now I think people would argue is the easy front runner in the AFC. So those are all quote unquote quality losses that they have. And Green Bay getting blown out the way they did and losing to the Chargers the way they did, I thought was the reason why I would just hold them back slightly from that conversation. They can prove everybody wrong in the coming weeks. And by the way, one point that should be brought up, it was not in sync. I would like to apologize. You should have known this, Swaggart. Apparently it was New Edition.
What, last night?
The dance that they did in the end zone was not an NSYNC dance. Apparently it was New Edition.
I was talking about the one, there was one several weeks ago.
Oh, okay. I was talking about the one last night.
Oh, I had one in the end zone last night. I barely saw any of the game last night because I was here working.
Okay. So I just wanted to, just correction, it was New Edition last night, apparently. We'll get to NFL True or False coming up bottom of the hour. We got some good mail sack questions coming in, so keep those coming. That's coming up at 2:15. Friday, you know, it's like clockwork, essentially. Death taxes and Washington State losing in the Apple Cup, unfortunately for the Cougs. They can't get that monkey off the back, and it looked like early in that game, maybe this was the year they got off to a good start. It was 7-0. They scored on their first possession.
Yeah, they marched it right down the field.
God, they had a 10-7 lead earlier, kind of thinking, hey, here we go. Washington's down this year. This could be the Cougs' year. Not the case. They ended up losing the game. 31-13 was the final. Afterwards, Mike Leach was at the podium. And we know Mike Leach is the fun-loving guy who will talk about gravy and superheroes and animals mating. And that's why we love having him on the show. But there's a fine line when you get frustrated, and he clearly was frustrated. And he had this back and forth with a reporter.
As fast as you guys rank their recruiting class, you know, in the top 10, and then you're always surprised when they win. So I think that, you know, maybe that would have a little something to do with it. Before we didn't win this one, and I don't care to have a big discussion with you on it because I really don't care what you think. No, you know, no. And you run your mouth and your little column and stuff like some sanctimonious troll where, you know, you've never been fair or even-handed with us, so I really don't care what you think. Okay, go ahead, because you're going to write some nasty stuff anyway, like you always do. And I don't know which coug way back when did something that offended you. And I really don't care about that either. But you can live your little meager life in your little hole and write nasty things. And if that makes you feel even, you go right ahead. Okay, next.
So, Coug fans, how are we feeling about that? 55305. We already have one Coug that texted in. Where did this go? Just, I don't know if he's a Coug or not, but I'm assuming he is. So just FYI, the reporter who Leach went off on, John Blanchett is his name. Is that how you say Blanchett?
I think so.
Is a complete idiot. I read his articles for years. Leach is 100% right. He is a troll. The only positive things he writes about is Gonzaga, and the only reason he writes anything about the Cougs is because the Spokesman Review makes him do it. So I'm assuming that's a Coug coming from that area, knowing who this columnist is.
Yeah.
How would you feel? Like, how do you feel if this is your coach going after the columnist who's clearly not, it sounds like, not liked by the fan base? Like, I talked to Krupke on Saturday, and he's a Coug. And I, you know, I asked him, how you feeling? Tough apple cup, was down there at the Civil War. He said, yeah, I'm just numb to it. Doesn't really matter. I don't get my hopes up. But he kind of echoed the same thing. Like, he's been around a long time. He writes a lot of negative stuff about Wazoo. How do you feel if your coach does that?
I think you'd prefer he didn't do it in a public forum. Like, you just ignore him in the press conference if you want. If you've got, if it's really just you've had it with a particular one, call him in with the athletic director in the office and go, look, I'm tired of dealing with you. Personally, we don't get along. I don't think you treat us, you know, I would prefer not to have to deal with you. I'm not going to deal with you. I'm not taking your questions when we, so you do it behind closed doors. And then if the guy that persists trying to make a spectacle out of it, then let him have it and say, listen, we sat in our office with the athletic director, but you have to do that in a public forum because everybody picks this up and
sure,
it becomes viral, and everybody's like, oh my God, is he like that all the time? If there is a serious lengthy history behind it, then I think you'd try and handle it at some point. There's just some people, you know, you're going to have to deal with the media and the media, you know,
sure.
If he's got he or she has a legitimate reason to be there covering the team,
you can't
ignore him. But if it's gotten to the point where just personally, I think that's where you try and handle it behind closed doors and say, listen, we don't see eye to eye. We don't agree. It's not good. I don't want to do that stuff publicly. It's not good for the program. It takes away from the players. So if you're going to write your own columns, that's fine if you want to sit in there and listen, but yeah. I'm not taking your questions because I want to avoid a scene. If the guy can't do it, if the guy insists, if he is trying to poke the bear to get that, then by all means, light him up, but explain in your answer.
Sure. Why you're doing it. And I think that's the tough part here too, because some of the, you know, just listening to the back and forth that happened there, it seemed like a legitimate question. Like, of saying, like, are you saying that you can't beat teams with better recruiting classes? Because that's clearly not the case.
Yeah.
Because you've done it. You beat Oregon 4 straight years. You've beaten Stanford. Yeah. You've beaten Utah. You've beaten USC when they were good. USC with Sam Darnold.
And we saw Harbaugh do that in his post game.
Right.
I think it's tough because here's part of the other problem. With Leach, it shouldn't be a problem because Leach is as accessible.
Yeah.
A head coach of a major of a Power 5 program as you're going to get.
And when we reach out for coaches, there's not an easier one in terms of responding and acknowledging and being willing to come on than Mike Leach.
Yeah. So access wise, it's tough because though access overall to head coaches and people that you want their opinion of keeps getting limited more and more.
Yeah.
Is it a fair question? Yes. I do think time and place matters, and I think as a journalist you have to recognize, boy, this, you know,
maybe the, I shouldn't poke the bear.
the flammability of this sure. question at this point right now.
Sure.
The pressure is a lot higher.
Well, I think this is
whereas if you get him on the next day when they have media availability and you can say, you know,
boy, what happened there? why can't you beat the Huskies?
At what point does this particular history with this game or not being able to beat the Huskies become, you know, a point of concern for, you know, if there's a way to get there, to get him started on it.
And get honest. And I think you're right, too, because in the moment, these guys are they're sensitive. I mean, he just lost for, what, the seventh consecutive year?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long streak. And none of those games really have been close.
And I think also he's you know, look, when you get, you know, taken behind the woodshed, there's nothing you can do. But they had a 10-7 lead. It looked like there was some stuff that was working. I think he felt like, God, we got an opportunity to get this one. And then whatever went sideways.
Sure.
Washington certainly had something to do with that. But, you know, they moved the ball pretty easily there early on in the game. And
they did. And then what
defensively
happened,
right? they were up to the task. So I think, one, when you feel like we got an opportunity to end this and then it all goes sideways on you at that point.
Well, and somebody, you know, one of our people insisted, and I think this is an interesting way to view it. I have no problem when coaches go at reporters. Reporters will trash the team in their columns too.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, and I understand that feeling about it, because I'm sure that column was written or has been written before by that guy about Mike Leach, about how he can't win the big game and how, you know, there clearly was a history there of the guy and his, a bunch of Cougs are texting in and chiming in saying, yeah, like this guy just trashes Washington State constantly. And so clearly there's a history there. He's always bashing him. And so Mike Leach has given him a dose of his own medicine. I don't really have a problem with that. The Harbaugh one I thought was a little bit different because he took the question out of context. The guy had basically said, you know, what was the issue getting out coached? Was it getting, you know, he took it like as a complete insult of him calling him a bad coach, and he was real condescending about it. But clearly there's anger and there's frustration. And I think as a fan, you want to see that because you're angry and you're frustrated, right? If you're a Cougs fan after that game, you just lost for the seventh straight year to your in-state rival. Yeah. There's no hope, it feels like, to beat them. And then he does that. So I think maybe it's a little red meat to your fan base. The tough part for Washington State right now, and I don't know, like, I don't know, this is a million-dollar question. Like, how do you solve this issue? Because they have been able to, despite recruiting rankings and, you know, deficiencies at other parts of the roster, they've been able to beat everybody else under Mike Leach. They beat Oregon four straight years. Some of it was backup quarterbacks, but they killed them with Herbert until a late comeback last year up in Pullman. They beat Utah last year. They beat them multiple times, I think. They've beaten Stanford. They've beaten USC. Most of those programs out-recruit Washington State. He doesn't have a problem with them. It doesn't mean he beats them every year, but he's beaten all of them. And to not be able to get over this hump and make adjustments, it's crazy. And we had this text from a Cougs fan. He said, I'm a lifelong WSU fan, third generation. My kids were born there, all that super fan BS. I've wanted him gone since he paraded the O-line out at the postgame presser in his first season. He's an ass. He does not take accountability, including when he bleeped up the end of the Colorado State bowl game. That was clock management 101. He's a terrible ambassador for Washington State. He has no respect for the fans, alumni, school, press, or players. He may be the best coach we've ever had, but he needs to go. He's reached his ceiling. Will never win a championship, so he's not worth the reputation hit. That's the interesting part, because you look at Wazoo, man, this is the best run of Wazoo football we've ever seen. Like, they're going to bowl, a down year now for Washington State is 6-6. You're disappointed with 6-6. Imagine telling that to a Cougs fan 10 years ago. You're going to be bummed when you go 6-6.
Well, I don't know if you could. I mean, Mike Price had it rolling pretty good there.
I mean, they had some great years. There was probably higher peaks there, but in terms of consistency.
They went to the Rose Bowls, and when they had Drew and Leaf. They were getting, you know, to Rose Bowls and 10-win seasons, that sort of thing. So I think in that regard, I think it can be done. You know, the question always will be now, can you find someone who accepts what Washington State is and is willing to be there long term, that has the football IQ and the coaching pedigree to be able to have 10-win seasons and play for Pac-12 titles.
And can you overcome the things that hold you back being in Pullman? Like, there's just a reality to that. And on the Price thing, I mean, you're not wrong. Price had higher highs. He got to two Rose Bowls in a Holiday Bowl, and he had four 10-win seasons. He was there from 1989 until 2002. So he had a long run there. But they never went to more than two bowl games in a row under Price. Right? I mean, so that just tells – I mean, they had those peak years. Last year became the first time in program history that they've gone to a bowl game in four straight years. This year, they're obviously going again after the Oregon State win, so it makes it five straight years. Like, they went to the Rose Bowl in 97. The next three years, they went 3-8, 3-9, 4-7, then got back to a 10-win season, then the Rose Bowl, and then he, of course, left after that. But there were a lot of highs and a lot of lows for him. So in terms of consistency, Mike Leach has brought in them stability that they haven't seen, winning 9, 8, 9, 11, and then this year 6 with a chance to win 7 in a bowl game.
To a certain extent, I believe that unless they are able to make significant financial investments to the program overall, I don't know to a certain extent that it matters. I mean, you can go. I mean, if you got Urban Meyer to go out there,
it's not good. Yeah, right. But this, put
is
it
he
in this
do
context.
That much better than Leach?
Right, put it in this context because I think the programs are somewhat similar, considering the in-state rival and what they're going against, and the cities that they're located in. Corvallis and Pullman have a lot of similarities. Mm-hmm. If I told you that a 6-6 year would be a down year for Oregon State, but you just lost to Oregon every year because they're just bigger and stronger and you couldn't figure them out, you lost every year. Do you take that? As a Beef fan, do you take that?
Yeah.
With an occasional 9-win season, maybe you get to 10-1 year, but 6-6 is going to be disappointing.
Yeah.
You take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the really tough part that they're in right now. This kind of stuff doesn't look great. One Cook fan said he saw this and thought that's a coach who doesn't care about the impact on the fan base and the alumni and any of that stuff because he's got one foot out the door. And that's always been the other question about Leach is, does he have eyes on a bigger job? He came close to taking the Tennessee gig a couple of years ago before they pulled the rug out from underneath him. Your thoughts are welcome on that, though. Just the coach, the way he handled it. 55305 is the better you today text line. We had a lot of good thoughts rolling in there. We'll get back to that coming up here in a little bit. But we got to get to NFL True or False. We'll see how we did last week. Answer the questions for this week. Grade ourselves out. We'll do that coming up next. Welcome back in 136. Got a lot of texts coming in on this Cougar thing. We'll get back into that coming up in a little bit. I mean, I understand the frustration, man. Losing to your rivals sucks. There's nothing worse than that, especially when there's no hope to beat them. But it's also important to have perspective. We had a couple interesting thoughts. We'll get back to that coming up in crunch time. Don't forget Mail Sack coming up at 2:15. So if you got any questions, sports or non-sports related, text them in to 55305. We'll get to them coming up in the final hour of the show. It is time, though, for NFL True or False. Oh, yeah. Here we go from last week. Let's see. Looks like we all went 2-2. Baltimore will have over 300 yards of offense against the 49ers. Sprague was the only one that got that right. He's not here, so I won't tell him. They did not. We both said true. They had 283 total yards of offense.
Yeah, I should have looked at the weather report bit more. That certainly tampered down the passing game.
I think Lamar finished with like 105 passing yards or something. Yeah, weather had a big part of it. That was a great game, though. So Sprague was the only one that got that right. Maybe the whiff of the century from all of us. The New York Football Jets will score 34
or more
points. Yeah,
Adam Gase should be fired for that. Woody should have just fired him right there.
Will score more than 34 points.
Talk about not having your team ready to go against the you let the Bengals have their first win.
We all said true. They scored six. Was it even a touchdown or did they kick two field goals? I don't know.
I think they kicked two field goals.
That makes it even worse. The Saints will keep the Falcons out of the end zone on Sunday, which actually was Thursday. But we all said false, got that right. They did score, and they put a little scare in. How do you get three straight onside kicks? I don't know. That was crazy. But we all got that right. And then last but not least, Kirk Cousins will still own the worst Monday Night Football record for starting quarterbacks after he leaves Seattle on Monday night. Sprague was the only one that said false. He said the Vikings were going to win.
How do you like me now?
I still like you, Kirk. I still like you. Although, I can only give you half a point here, Swagger, because you said he will go full primetime Kirkers. That was your quote. And he didn't go full. He went slight primetime Kirkers, not full.
Now, the rest of his team did because they had like three turnovers.
Yes.
Including a fumble of the last kickoff.
Right. You got just 20 seconds left. Like, give yourself a chance, man. Dear Lord. That pick, by the way, too, wasn't that not on Diggs? I mean, I guess you missed the game.
I missed it.
I'm still frustrated. Okay, so we all went 2-2. What do we got this week?
All right, six different teams have an opportunity to clinch a playoff spot this weekend. Ravens, Patriots, Chiefs, Bills, Seahawks, and 49ers. Everybody in the AFC is facing each other, too, which makes it more fun. Okay. True or false, no more than two of these teams will have clinched a playoff spot after this weekend's games.
I'll tell you, man, that... I just went John Gruden on you. Let me tell you what, man. I'm a little nervous about Seattle and L.A. Doesn't that feel like a game Seattle could... Like, I just feel like they drop one of those every year. In L.A., all of a sudden, poured in like 600 yards of offense on Sunday. Where the hell did that come from? 49... Chiefs... No more than two of those teams will clinch a playoff spot. I'm going to say that this is true.
I'm going to say this is false. All the Seahawks and 49ers just have to win and they clinch playoff spots. I think that I think they can do that. I know the 49ers have a tough one.
The Chiefs and Pats play each other. I am kind of sniffing around. Call me crazy. Kind of sniffing around a Baltimore upset this weekend.
Possible.
They're in Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo can play defense. Big game over the 49ers.
Buffalo needs a lot of help to clinch their playoff spot, though.
They do. I'm not saying Buffalo clinches. I'm just saying Baltimore could lose.
I think this is false. I think three of them get it.
Okay.
Seahawks are now a perfect 3-0 in primetime games so far this season, heading into Sunday night showdown with the Rams. True or false, Seahawks will be 4-0 in primetime games after they leave the Coliseum Sunday night.
This is not smart because the Rams are a dumpster fire and they haven't looked good for basically the entirety of the season, and it's stupid. This is Vegas makes money off of me because I'm buying into 1 week. Like, I am just sending my check to Vegas right now. I'm going to say that this is false, though. It's a Sunday night game. A little concerned. The Rams are technically still alive. Like, there's a chance. The Rams are 7-5. If Minnesota is to lose this weekend, they host the Lions at home, so I don't think it'll happen. If Minnesota loses and LA wins, they're only a game out. Like, they're still alive in the playoff chase. And that wild card spot, I'm going to say that this is false. I think they lose to the Rams on Sunday night.
Nah, don't mess with the Seahawks in primetime. Plus, Pete Carroll owns the Coliseum.
He does.
They'll be 4-0. With the Ravens facing the Bills, it pits the first and third leading rushers among quarterbacks this season in Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, who are also 1-2 in rushing TDs among quarterbacks. True or false, Jackson and Allen will combine for more rushing touchdowns than passing touchdowns in their game on Sunday.
Oh, this is true. This is 100% true.
I was rather proud of this. So I was like, I did some research.
100% true. That is a lot of research. There's a lot of numbers behind this thing.
Yes.
And both teams have good defenses, right? So I don't think either of them are going to be slinging it around a ton. Their most success is going to come on the ground like it usually does. This is true. I'm actually really looking forward to that game. Buffalo showed me a lot. Like, I did not give them a chance in Dallas on Thanksgiving.
They smoked
the Cowboys. Like, that was no contest, man.
I think this is false. I think you're going to get a lot of... finding the tight ends by the teams. Like, they'll get down close in the red zone.
Okay.
But then I think a lot of, goal to go from the 3-yard line, a lot of Russell Knox or Mark Andrews opportunities were little short ones that will keep them up. I think both teams will be well-schooled. You can actually simulate what the rushing quarterback's going to do in their defensive prep for a rare time this season. So I think they'll be more through the air. I don't think there'll be big bombs, but I think it'll be a lot of close in, using the tight end, fullback sort of thing.
Okay.
Finally, the Cowboys currently lead the NFC East with a 500 record at 6-6. The Eagles are just a game behind
at 5-7.
True or false, the leader of the NFC East division will have a losing record on Monday.
So basically you're just saying Dallas loses to Chicago here?
Yes.
Because the Eagles, if they win, are still below 500.
Well, one, I want to see if you can do math.
Hey, that's not bad, right? Like that. If Philly wins, they'd be 6-7. And I still think they would be behind Dallas, right? Because Dallas has the head-to-head. So if Dallas loses, they're 6-7, and Dallas, no matter what, will be in first place. God. Why do I keep believing in the Dallas Cowboys?
Can you
explain that to me? Why do I keep believing
in them? Because you look at all the talent that they have and go, how do these guys lose?
It doesn't make any sense. This is false. They're going to beat Chicago. I'm buying it again. This is false.
They will beat Chicago.
If they don't beat Chicago,
then maybe Jarrett finally is having
enough. He has to give. If they can't beat Chicago on the road.
Yeah, and you've had a full week because you played on Thanksgiving. So even though they're on Thursday night, because the Bears are too. So both of these teams have had a full week. You should see a better Thursday night product than teams coming in on like 2 days of practice.
And the Bears didn't look very. I mean, they played a third string quarterback
now,
making his first start against Detroit.
Considering what the Bears and Cowboys have laid out for you so far this season.
Will I ever learn my lesson with the Dallas Cowboys? I bet on them against New England. I guess they did cover that game.
I haven't learned my lesson in, well, since they were winning Super Bowls in the 90s.
Yeah, I thought they'd beat Buffalo on Thanksgiving. At least I've made money on them back-to-back weeks. That helps slightly. The line in this game, it looks like, by the way, they're favored by a field goal. So I'm going to keep taking the bait, man. They got too much talent. Maybe eventually they'll figure it out. And if you're a Cowboy fan, I guess the beautiful part is if they lose, one, they're still in first place, so they can still likely going to make the playoffs. And then, two, maybe they finally fire Jason Garrett.
Right,
could end up being a positive for him.
Beg of you.
Could be a positive. All right, there
Although,
you go.
Although the scary part is I think Rod Marinelli would be named interim head coach.
God, no! They're not going to give it to Kellen Moore. He's not ready to be the head coach yet.
Well, that would be a Jarrah thing to do.
Or Rashard. Why not Rashard?
It's possible. Marinelli's been a head coach before.
Give the figurehead job.
Was he the 0-16 Lions coach?
I think so. I kind of want to look that up now.
All right, look that up in the break.
Okay. I will look that up during the break. I do want. Let's get back into the coaching thing in college football because Mike Leach, he ranted about the media member. We'll play it for you again if you missed it. This happened on Friday after the Apple Cup. So he went on a little bit of a tangent there on Friday after they lost to Washington. And I think there was a lesson there. We had a lot of texts coming in. I want to read some of them. Just be careful what you wish for occasionally. And it doesn't matter what size of the program, just with college football coaches, because the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
We'll yes, Rod Marinelli was the head coach of the 0-16 Lions.
That's the future of the Cowboys. We'll get to that coming up next. Crunch Time on the Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's Crunch Time, a look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where their trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. Yes, go ahead, Bill. Go ahead.
That is 7-9.
You changed it up on me today. I like it. I'll be there tomorrow. Okay, what do you want from me? Final hour. We'll get into the rankings coming out tonight in college football. I am concerned for the Pac-12. I'll tell you why. Mail sack at 2:15. Get your questions in. And don't look now, but your Portland Trailblazers are red hot and rolling, and they take on the LA Clippers tonight. So we'll get to that coming up in the final hour. Don't even do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. We were talking though earlier. Mike Leach went on a rant on Friday. They lost in the Apple Cup again. Didn't look good. 31-13, the final score. In case you missed it, I want to play it for you just one more time if you miss it. It's a longtime columnist in Spokane who, according to every Coug fan that has texted in or that I have talked to, Coug fan does not like. So just, I mean, take that with into the information when you're listening to this. But here is Mike Leach after the Apple Cup getting pressed by a reporter and taking some shots.
As fast as you guys rank their recruiting class, in the top 10, and then you're always surprised when they win. So I think that, that would have a little something to do with it. Before we didn't win this one, and I don't care to have a big discussion with you on it because I really don't care what you think. No. And you run your mouth and your little column and stuff like some sanctimonious troll where, you've never been fair or even-handed with us, so I really don't care what you think. Okay, go ahead, because you're going to write some nasty stuff anyway like you always do, and I don't know which Coug way back when did something that offended you. And I really don't care about that either. But you can live your little meager life in your little hole and write nasty things. And if that makes you feel even, you go right ahead. Okay, next.
So the part of it that's not in there is when Leach is saying you guys, you rank the recruiting classes here and then you're surprised. He went on a rant similar to that earlier this year about Oregon, basically saying that, you guys proclaim them this and this and this, and then you're surprised when they win because of all the recruiting. And the guy asked the follow-up question basically saying, are you saying that you can't beat teams that have better recruiting classes than you because you've done that in the past? And then that prompted the final response there. But, you know, I think, you know, I read a text in, a couple of segments ago from a Cougs fan basically saying he's tired of Leach and you know, he can't beat Washington. He's a bad face for the program. He's this red ass kind of in the media. He doesn't like the persona that he brings and the reputation that he brings to Washington State. I mean, I do understand certain parts of that, but there's been a lot of pushback from Cougs fans who heard that fan and his response. And I think the thing here, no matter how you feel about their inability to beat Washington, you just got to be really careful with what you ask for, because I think there's a lot of examples of this around college football. And I think there's one that's very similar to what's going on at Wazoo, just with the personality thing. And that was at Nebraska. Because Nebraska, I mean, they have been trying desperately to get back to where they were back in the day. And it's been a long run. They haven't been able to do it. Scott Frost just got an extension, despite the fact that they've been overwhelmingly disappointing over the last 2 years. But they had this similar problem with Bo Pelini. Now, if you don't remember Bo Pelini, he took over as head coach in 2008. He was there from 2008 until 2014. His record in those six seasons, and that was taking over a Nebraska program that was somewhat not, I mean, they weren't terrible, but it wasn't like they were competing for national championships. These are his win totals in his years at Nebraska. 9, 10, 10, 9, 10, 9, 9. Those are the games that he won. He won the division when they were still in the Big 12 twice, went to two Big 12 championship games, I believe, and then I know he went to a Big 10 championship game in 2012 in their second year in the conference. The pushback always about Bo Pelini was twofold. One, he can't win the big game because they'd get to these conference championships or you play Ohio State late in the season. He couldn't get them over the hump in the bigger games. And then two, he was a jackass. They didn't lie. I mean, he was always throwing tantrums on the sideline. He was throwing his headsets. He was yelling and cussing at people, and they didn't like that. That was the representation of Nebraska football. So the push behind the scene was, let's get rid of this guy. I mean, the program's good. Let's get somebody we can be proud of to be our head coach. And they hired probably the most polar opposite that you could ever hire from Bo Pelini, and that was when they went and got Mike Riley. And Mike Riley came in. He was a really nice guy, and he didn't win many games. They had to fire him. And ever since then, I mean, you're talking about a guy that every year he was at Nebraska won 9 games and had 3 seasons of 10 wins. That's the best run in Nebraska football we've seen since the glory days of the mid to late 90s when all of it kind of ended for them in the early 2000s. And they fired him to bring in a nice guy. Didn't work out. Now they went and got the next young head coach in Scott Frost. Hasn't worked out. And they're trying to get back to where they were. They're still chasing what they had under Bo Pelini. And I would ask Nebraska fans, would you rather have 9 or 10 win seasons, or would you rather have a coach that you could be proud of like Mike Riley? And I think most of them at this point would probably take the 9 or 10 win seasons. And I think that is the cautionary tale for people, where I get it's frustrating sometimes. He does things that you don't like publicly, you know, ranting about a reporter. Some Cougs fans are okay with it. Some aren't. I think it just depends on your view of the reporter. But for the most part, man, us in the media, we take shots at guys all the time. We say people should get fired. We criticize. So if a coach wants to do that to a media member, I don't generally have a big problem with it, because if you're going to give it, you got to be able to take it. And I think that's only fair in what Mike Leach did there. And I get the frustration of not being able to beat Washington. That is the onus that falls on his shoulders. And you should hold his feet to the fire in that regard, because he's been able to beat everybody else in the conference, no matter the recruiting rankings or how better they are than Washington. But it doesn't mean that you fire the guy, because the grass isn't always greener on the other side of the fence. And we had one of our P1s text in. We were talking about this a little bit ago, using an Oregon State analogy, and that was with Mike Riley. When Mike Riley was still at Oregon State before he took that Nebraska job, there was like a ruffling of feathers behind the scenes of, can you do better? Can you find better than Mike? Can you get more consistent? Is it time to move on? Is this getting stale, right? Like, that was kind of the ongoing conversation behind the scenes was, is Mike Riley better? It's still one of my favorite moments in the history of the show was when we had an old intern in and we have them do their final segment, and we let him rant about whatever topic or opinion that we have. And this is when Gary Anderson had just taken over at Nebraska. And our intern decided to focus his segment on how Mike Riley had never done anything for Oregon State, and Gary Anderson was the answer of the future, which, that's an old takes exposed right there. But Sakanik came running in here, kicked you out of the way, grabbed the microphone, and said, dude, I was recruited by Oregon State. You were nothing. I threw that letter immediately in the trash. Mike Riley made your program relevant. But there was always that thought of, could you do better? Could you get better than Mike? Could you get a little? And so far, I mean, you've been chasing that ever since Mike Riley left. Your best season was a 4-8 season until this year. You went to 5-7. You haven't been to a bowl game since he left. And so that's where, and look, I know that was different because they didn't fire Mike Riley. He ended up leaving on his own. So that's not exactly a similar argument, but I do think it was similar in the regard of just the the unrest in the fan base of saying, can we do better than this? And sometimes, I hate to say just accept your lot in life, but there's a certain aspect to that. You got a good thing going now with Mike Leach. I know it's not always sunshine and roses, and he can drive you nuts a little bit, but who are you going to go get?
I think what hopefully all of this, if people have paid attention over the years, is there's no quick fixes.
No.
In college football. Certainly coaching helps, and coaching can turn around a bad program to a consistent program, can take a consistently average program to make it a really good program, sure, or to take a good program to an elite program. But no single coach can take a college program from being middling to elite.
No, all on their
overnight.
own. No, does not happen.
Doesn't work like that. And so you have to, as universities, decide what you're, you know, what resources you have and what you can allocate to it.
Right, what your expectations are as well. Like that, that goes into it. That if you're,
it's not that every program doesn't have dreams and aspirations of getting to the top, but
of course, but look,
it's a different route for everybody.
Look who wins national championships, man. Like, like it's the same teams every single year.
It's even worse in college basketball.
It's even worse in college. That's so true. And at least it's slightly different in the regard of you can get into the tournament and go on a run, or as a, you know, as a 12 seed make
but
it in the Sweet
16.
Who's
getting to the Elite Eight and Final Fours?
Right, it's the big boys every single year. And you look at the college football playoff, it's the same damn teams every single year. Oregon has the same problem. Like, they have Nike. They have all these built-in advantages now. The recruiting high.
Yeah.
They still can't even get over the hump. So I think it's just important. Like, you just
go
have to
back
have
and look how long it took Clemson,
which true,
to finally, you know,
break through and get over that hump. LSU's been dealing with this since they lost at the end of the Les Miles era, and then Ed Orgeron, right? They couldn't. So I think you just got to be careful sometimes with what you wish for. Understand where you're at, what your expectations should be. Doesn't mean you can't be disappointed when he comes out and rips players. I hate when Mike Leach does that, when he publicly comes out and shames guys for not, you know, being invested and all that stuff. Like, you're the coach, get your team ready to play. That stuff drives me nuts. But it, you also have to remember, they're going to a bowl game for a fifth consecutive season, which is the longest streak, breaking his own record of four that he set last year, the longest streak in Washington State history. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Their trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. Locally owned and operated with six locations to serve you. Coming up in the final hour of the show, Carmelo Anthony fever is sweeping across Portland. They play the Clippers tonight. I'll see if I can get Swigard upset on that one. We got the mail sack coming up at 2:15, so if you got any questions, get them in. 55305 is the better you today text line. They could be sports or non-sports related. Let's start with something I'm eagerly awaiting tonight, and that is the college football playoff rankings, which come out a little over 2 hours from now. How is it all going to shake out? And I think there's something that the Pac-12 should be worried about. It's not breaking news, but it does concern me, and we'll start the final hour there next. Don't go anywhere. You got Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.